I feel dirty.
Okay, let's start from the beginning here. What did you do or where are you coming from? Like physically dirty or what?
No, I sent it, the picture.
Oh my God, did you really?
Yeah.
Well, you did what you had to do. You know, you took one for the team. For the betterment of our program.
Don't call it, took one for the team, because that makes it sound even dirtier than it actually is.
I don't know.
What was I supposed to do? It was getting like relentless. All right, so a few weeks ago, we were talking about sauna sweatsuits and whether or not they actually worked. So I had gone to Walmart and I bought Raven and I sauna sweatsuits.
Yeah, these are the big rubber latex style suits that you put on and they're supposed to make you sweat more when you're working out, stuff like that. They're terrible. They're like huge trash bags.
Yeah, and they make you sweat and you lose weight or whatever. So we wore them for 24 hours, but we had posted a lot of pictures of us in the sweatsuit and videos of us in the sweatsuit. What I was unaware of, there is a fetish for women in sauna suits.
Right. I knew that people could be into latex. I mean, that's kind of been a thing that's known for a while. But it's not just the sauna suit. It's also the inflation of said suit, right? It's like one of those, you know, sumo wrestling kits that you get for your kid's birthday party or whatever, and they fight in the back, and nobody gets hurt.
So at first, I thought it was a joke because somebody had sent us a message saying, Anna, could you please blow it up? And I didn't know what that meant.
Right.
So I was like,
who would know what that meant?
I'm like, blow up the sauna suit? I go, that doesn't make any sense.
Explosives?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Compressed air? Which is it?
And we get a lot of weird messages on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. So I just kind of like brushed it off. I didn't think anything of it.
All right. To be fair, it's been a long career and it's always interesting.
Yep. And then it was more persistent. Like, would you mind putting on high heels with your sauna suit? And I'm like, red flag.
And red lipstick.
Yeah. And then they started cropping Raven out of all the photos and videos. And then Raven got upset that he was no longer in the pictures of me in the sauna suit.
I mean, I'm not really upset. Just without an explanation, it was strange to wonder why.
So now I'm like, let me do some further investigation of this person. And I start going into their Twitter and their Instagram. Because let's be honest, when you start getting things like that, you're going to do a little cyber stalking to find out what you're dealing with here, right?
Go down the rabbit hole.
Yep. And it's a fetish. And this whole pages are filled with women in blow-up sauna suits. And I am not attractive in a sauna suit by any means possible.
This is not your wheelhouse? You don't feel like this is an area that you could really get, you know, corner the market?
Nope. So all the messages start coming in. Will you send me an autographed picture of you in the sauna suit? Then, over our head to the boss, sent an email to our boss.
Asking for you to send the sauna suit photo.
Yes. I said, no, I'm not going to do that.
Flatly no.
Nope, not happening. Finally, how about just an autographed picture? So I made Raven fill one out with me.
Right.
And then I debated whether or not to send it. And I'm like, you know what? Okay, a fan is a fan.
So you sent that photo.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I thought you blew up the sauna suit at some point in your own private time.
I mean, can you believe this is the real world?
No, I understand why you feel dirty, but this is better.
Yeah.
It's not as bad as it could have been.
Uh-huh.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
Three stories, but you only get to hear about one, and it's the one that Raven wants to hear about. Sorry about that.
It's so great to be king.
Mm-hmm. All right, number one, man fired for selling counterfeit COVID vaccination cards.
Oh, boy.
Number two, Goodwill worker finds $42,000 in old sweaters.
Oh, boy.
And number three, mom shows up to school wearing boxing gloves, fights student.
Oh, well, as interesting as that one sounds, I want the money. Show me the money, Anna Zapp.
All right. An employee at a Goodwill found $42,000 in cash hidden in some old sweaters as someone donated by mistake.
Wait a minute. How does this happen all the time? I'm always amazed when I hear about this in the couch cushions and stuff like that. I know that, like, back in the day, Depression era, that stuff, people would hide cash in there. And then, of course, you get older, you forget. I mean, there's things that I put in places where I'm like, I'm going to put this right here so I never forget it. And, of course, you immediately forget it at that point. So that I understand. But in your sweater, like, check the sweater before you drop the sweater off.
How bulky was the sweater that had $42,000 in it? Can you imagine?
Even in the days where they were still making, you know, $1,000 bills, like, you're going to feel a wad of 42 bills.
Right.
I mean,
no, this is even worse. Raven, you find $42,000. You work at Goodwill.
Yes.
What do?
Immediately run out the door. Immediately run out the door. You know, and I'm not going to say I'm not going to have second thoughts about it later on in life, but I'll just make donations. I love to make donations to Goodwill already. I'll make more of them.
This is what the woman did.
Just from working here for about a month and a half, there are a lot of weird things that have been donated. There was just stacks of just envelopes, and it just continued. contained $100 bills. I have a daughter, can't put a price on my daughter, and I know what could be risked stealing that money, and I do believe in karma.
Wait a minute. What could be risked?
Yeah.
Is she afraid her daughter's going to get struck by lightning?
No.
Given the fact that she found $42,000?
I've never understood a statement more as a mom. You know, I used to be so brave, and I would toe that line of like, questionable decisions.
Yeah.
The minute I became a mother, all of a sudden I am terrified of everything I do. Because, you know, what happens if she gets arrested? She doesn't know the repercussions. Now her kid doesn't have a mom to take care of her. This is the story of my life.
Well, wait a minute. I'm confused. Mm-hmm. So you keep the money,
and
therefore your daughter
will
be arrested at some point? Or no,
you'll
be arrested.
Yeah, and then who's going to take care of my baby? Who's going to do her hair for prom? Who's going to make sure she marries the right guy one day? I mean, this is the story of my life.
This is $42,000 stashed in a sweater box.
Yep. Well,
I'm buying all these sweaters.
She returned the money, and it does end on a happy note, though.
They asked us if we would give you $1,000. They came out of that money and give that back to you. We all agree with your comments on karma. It comes right back.
See? Right.
None of us wanted to be standing next to you when you got struck by lightning either. So we're glad you did the right thing. Here's $1,000.
Kids, I'm telling you, they ruin everything. Everything.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You could always call or text 1-800-330-9999. Raven, if you drive 3 miles per hour under the speed limit and you don't turn on red when it's totally legal to turn on red, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh, you had a little road rage going? That's unlike you.
It's actually your fault. 100% your fault. So yesterday, Raven was the guy where 1 minute left in a meeting, he starts this long conversation about nonsense to make the meeting last longer. Okay. But I had scheduled a doctor's appointment exactly 50 minutes after that meeting was supposed to end.
That's
to give
right.
me exactly 50 minutes to get there. And I'm giving him the death stare. And I'm texting him to stop talking. But he doesn't for 15 minutes. So now I'm late to the appointment. And when you're late, right? Everything that a car does ahead of you, when can't get around them,
you're
makes
hyper
you,
alert.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I was behind a car 3 miles per hour under the speed limit the entire time. Every time we got to a red light or a stop sign, they would refuse to turn. It would just take forever.
Right.
At the red light, I was like, there's no sign.
It always feels
there's
like,
no sign.
Too, like they know that you have to get there, that you feel desperate.
You're doing it
like,
on
that's
purpose.
How you feel. That's how you feel, right? It's probably not reality, but that's how you feel.
I was like, you think you're going to get into heaven faster if you stay at this red light? Turn. That's all I need to know about you.
If you are the person that while you're watching somebody struggle in a parking lot trying to find their car and they keep using their remote to go ahead and hit the horn, but you're watching in your car and you're hitting the horn every time they use the remote, that's all I need to know about you. This is what my friend did yesterday.
What did he do?
It's terrible. He's watching a lady searching for her car in the Walmart parking lot. And that's a terrible feeling when you've lost your car.
It's the worst.
Right? And to see it, honestly, it could be sad to watch. I mean, it's either stolen or you just lost your car. And every time she goes to hold the remote up in the air, he's hitting his horn.
It's kind of a funny April Fool's joke. But
it's also morally corrupt.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely. I don't think I can sign off on that. 1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Anna and Raven. That's all I need to know about you.
If you don't give up your seat for a pregnant woman or an older person on the subway, that's all I need to know about you.
Absolutely.
That's a big one. And I always feel like it's such an easy thing to do. I'm always the guy who offers up his seat. I do it in the lobby, too. But you know what
Thank
I get
you.
When I give up, when I offer up the seat? The old man never takes it. All right. The old man says to me, no, and he says it politely, but the tone is, I'll kick your butt, young whippersnapper.
Yeah.
Every time.
Exactly.
Every He's time like, from the old man, it's always
hungry.
Like, I don't need your seat. All right.
Raven, I can't wait because you're about 5 seconds away from somebody offering a seat to you. Now let's see what you do. 1-800-330-9999. You could always call or text. Just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. It's April Fools. I've got really good news. You don't have to worry about anything happening here. We're not going to try to prank you in any way. We're not allowed to.
Yeah, we're just going to pull that back before anybody gets in trouble here.
Right. So it's happened in the past before. Whenever there's some kind of April Fool's prank that you try to play on the air, inevitably something terrible will happen.
It's either you're elaborate and it's a good prank and therefore somebody's going to get upset about it and angry, or it's terrible and it just falls flat.
Right. Yep. And then the lawyers call and then it becomes an issue. So here's the thing. We're not allowed to do April Fools. And I am A-okay with that because I hate April Fool's Day.
There's a lot of pressure that comes with it to be good. Mm-hmm. And if it truly is something that shocks you and is funny, again, it's usually somewhat offensive. I don't want April Fool's jokes in my house or in my life, if I'm being honest.
Me neither. And you know what? The country is split. They did a poll and they found out that 45% of people like April Fools. They find it amusing. And 47% say it's annoying and that we should get rid of it altogether. Yeah. I don't know if there's anything to get rid of. Like, what are we banning?
You can't stop crazy people from doing the things they do.
Right.
Like when I'm flipping through and I see the YouTube video of like a couple playing pranks on each other and somebody puts butter on the floor or something like that, I laugh for a minute. But immediately by the end of the video, I always say, in my house, that would be the end.
There'd be a problem.
That would be the end of things.
My daughter Hayden, my older daughter, she's 12 now. When she was younger, she would try to do like funny pranks. And it was cute when a kid does it.
Right.
You know, like she would take a sponge and cover it in Nutella and pretend like it was a brownie. And then we would pretend to bite into it and we were just biting a sponge. And then inevitably I would be sad because I really wanted a brownie, you know, and I would almost just eat the sponge.
See, no matter what, there's some sort of heartbreak associated with it.
I remember one year we did what we thought was the tamest April Fool's joke on the air was that we did a normal break. We were just talking about whatever was happening in the news that day.
Mm-hmm.
But the co-host that I had at the time just kept playing cat sound effects in the background.
Okay.
So we would just be talking about the weather and what a beautiful day it is today and all that. But in the background, you would just hear this little cat whining. So many people pulled over out of fear that there was a cat trapped in their car that we got in so much trouble. Like, can you imagine? Like, can you imagine? Like, that's what we got in trouble for?
It does happen from time to time, but the fact that you got in trouble for it, right.
Can you imagine if we put a lion sound effect? Did you think there'd be a lion in your engine?
Maybe a goat.
Right. But there's a reason why I hate April Fool's so much, Raven. Something terrible happened on April Fool's Day.
Good.
Yeah, my father used to own a huge restaurant that had a nightclub underneath it, right? This is years ago. And we got a call in the middle of the night one night. This is when I still live at home. I was a teenager.
Okay.
And they said there's been an explosion in the wine room.
Oh, my gosh.
And that there was a huge fire and like that we needed to evacuate the nightclub because it was like 2:00 in the morning.
Well, that's terrible.
So my dad is like, guys, it was April Fool's. He's like, it's not funny, guys.
Right.
He hung up, right?
Okay.
And then somebody called back.
Yeah.
And impersonating one of the firefighters.
Yeah.
And my dad is like, seriously, it's not funny, guys.
Totally not funny. Right. I'm trying to sleep.
Hey, guess what?
What?
No, that happened.
No, that was a real fire.
That was a real fire. Front page of the paper the next day.
Oh,
everybody was safe. It was fine. But that wasn't funny on April Fool's. That's why I think we should get rid of it altogether. Don't you think?
Well, I guess that works for the nation. Right. Bad things can still happen on that day.
Have you ever lied about your job? Why? What did you say that you did? 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. Raven, listen to this. Olivia, one of my girlfriends from college, she texted me last night. She had been dating this guy. She told me about him. Mm-hmm. Only a couple days, but she met him on Match.com. Everything seemed fine. Seemed like a nice, normal guy. Said he worked in corporate finance, but was kind of vague about it. And then I guess after a couple dates, he told her this past weekend that like that wasn't really true, that he just worked. He works at like a retail store, which not for nothing. She doesn't care. But why did you say that? You know, why would you lie about that to begin with?
Well, you know, finance sounds a little bit impressive. Most people don't actually know what you're talking about when you say it, too, on top of it. So maybe he thought he could float that one for a while. People lie about jobs, you know, all sorts of reasons. Obviously, that one, he was trying to land a lady.
Wait a minute. You've lied about your job before?
Oh, yeah. But more like for fun, right? Because, I mean, a lot of people would think that I have like a fun job. But like if I crashed a Christmas party one time, my wife and I, we were at a theater show. And upstairs in the theater, they have elaborate ballrooms and stuff. So there's a big party going on in there. So we crashed it in there, went in there. And I may have told people I was from accounting also. And we were referencing people from HR and so forth. It took about 30, 40 minutes before anybody caught on. Mm-hmm. And we exited stage left. By the way, we were the hit of the party with the band.
Oh, good.
Because we told them what we were doing in the hallway and they loved it.
So you were basically lying about your job, saying that you worked at the company that was there. You crashed a party and said you worked there.
Yeah, yeah, we crashed a party and said we worked at that place.
That was like the time my husband and I wanted to crash a prom. No. But I don't think anybody would pass us off.
Just
as
say
high
your parents.
Seniors.
Say your parents. You're your chaperones, right? And people are like, whose parents are those?
We're Kelly Kapowski's parents. Yeah. And they'd be like, Kelly Kapowski? That sounds familiar.
Why are those parents aggressively making out like it's a John Hughes movie or something?
And shoving rolls from the buffet in their pocketbooks. How strange. What are these parents doing here? We really wanted to, but we didn't have the guts to do it. I always do the opposite where, like, I downplay our job.
Sure.
Because I don't want people to ask me for things. So they'll be like, do you have any say over, you know, this? And I'm like, no, nothing. I don't have any say whatsoever. Here, you can email my boss. Here's the number.
That is true. You do give the boss's email out
a lot. All the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Takes the pressure off of me.
The first question, obviously, in radio is, who cool have you met, right? And who have you interviewed and who have you hung out with?
We should lie about that.
Right. Well, who would you say?
Oh, definitely. I'm interviewing Prince Harry and Meghan Markle next week.
Yeah.
Right. We got second bid to Oprah.
They traded the questions with you. We were actually the people that they worked with on the questions before Oprah showed up, right? They were like, well, we've got these samples, but we really could use your help.
My girlfriend Olivia went on 4 dates with the guy before he admitted that he had lied about what he does for a living.
I mean, when you're trying to impress somebody to get ahead, but you know that sooner or later, right, that's going to come due. They're going to find out.
Who lies about their job? Have you ever lied about your job? What did you lie about? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, Anna and Raven.
I lied at a party. We had a Christmas party at a restaurant. It was a larger Christmas party going on.
Mm-hmm.
My buddies and I crashed a larger Christmas party, and they actually were giving out awards. So they called this name for an award. I went up on stage and tried to accept the award.
Classic.
I was even part of that party. And one of my neighbor's kids, who happened to be 21, was in the audience, worked for the company, started laughing and cheering my name. And I heard my name cheered out, and everybody kind of figured out that I really wasn't with the company and I really shouldn't accept the award. I kind of like got escorted off the stage.
But where was the guy that won the award?
Right.
He was just standing in the back being like, what? What's happening right now?
I don't know. I basically beat him to the stage, so he didn't really have a chance to get up there.
That's hilarious. Hey, it's Anna and Raven. When did you lie about your job?
Well, I was the manager of a GameStop for a year after college, and there's, you know, of course, nothing wrong with working at GameStop, but I was also living in my mom's house at the time. So the two of those put together, I felt like painted a bad picture when talking to girls.
Right.
You know, like living with my mom, working at GameStop. So I used to just say that I was in person-to-person sales.
What does that even mean, person-to-person sales?
I mean, that sounds like you're a telemarketer. That's even worse in my book, but...
Yeah. You know, P2P.
I want you to meet my parents. Nope, you don't. No, you don't. And we'll just wait a while before that happens.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. When did you lie about your job?
Child actor is my favorite lie to tell. I just tell people like, oh yeah, like I was a child actor. And you just name shows from the 90s. And like, no one checks, you know. So I'm like, yeah, I did an episode of Saved by the Bell. And like, I was in a few Family Matters. And like, went on a date with Urkel once.
Wow.
It's just like the perfect conversation starter.
You gotta watch yourself.
Nobody
with
checks.
Urkel. All right. I mean, he only played nice out front. We all know that he's hard and angry.
Is he?
Yes.
Oh.
Julia White, that dude is super angry.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He's still angry.
Okay.
He's like ripped, that guy. He's like, he looks like Terry Crews with his shirt off. He's crazy.
Wow. Hey, it's Anna and Raven. When did you lie about your job?
You know, I was on a date once, and I told her that I was a veterinarian because she loved animals. Mm. It got pretty serious. So I had to come clean, and her reaction was better than I thought it would be. She was flattered that I was trying to impress her. We're married now. So yeah, that's how that went.
Wow. I don't know if I found out that a guy lied to me, but what's your real job?
I'm a hedge fund manager.
Okay, so I guess the money's there.
Right.
What's the difference?
Right. I mean, he doesn't have a lab coat, but he does have a bank account.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
That's good. We'll let him in.
Although maybe I'm lying about that.
Maybe. I mean, who knows? See, I don't know if I'd marry that guy. It's shady.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's that lie you told about your job?
Anytime I go to a wedding and I don't know anyone, I'm always making up a ridiculous job. I told my husband's cousin one time that I was a writer for all the Disney Junior shows.
That's good, because who would lie about that?
Right.
I always say I'm one of the Spice Girls, and they're like, which one? And I'm like, well, I guess Mel B. And then they're like, okay. It doesn't work out as well.
Hey, it's Anna and Raven. When did you lie about your job?
So my friends and I have this thing that we do that anytime we get into an elevator when we're on vacation at a hotel, we start talking like we're all in a band together and we're playing in town. So like, hey, man, so what time's the rehearsal? I think it's like 5 o'clock. Doors are open at 8, though. I'm going to need some time to dressing room no matter what.
I mean, that's a way to pick up girls.
That's exactly what they're doing.
Is that what
I mean,
you're
come
doing?
On. Took me that long to figure that
maybe
out.
A little bit.
Yeah. I was like, oh, what band are you in? No, oh, where are you playing?
Oh, my God. Ah.
And now we join Anna and Raven's coverage of the March Gladness Tournament.
It is the Elite Eight in March Gladness. We are crowning the number one thing that makes you happy. And if you'd like to see the full brackets and make your final predictions, you can head to annaandraven.com. Every day it's a new matchup, Raven, and you can vote by calling or texting 1-800-330-9999 or on any of our social media pages at Anna and Raven.
As expected, Anna, the games are getting really tight now, right? We're getting the best of the best. These competitors are battle-tested. They've won their own games before. But now, of course, every game is win or go home. Today, fries in the bottom of the bag. What a competitor it is. I had fast food the other day for the first time in weeks, months, really. I found 3 French fries in the bottom of the bag. One of those French fries was nearly 7 inches long.
Get out of here.
It was absolutely amazing.
It was a full-length fry.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was the largest fry in all of the fries, and it was at the bottom. I barely even knew it was there until I found it.
It is the number 4 seed, though, but there is nothing better than when you're done with your fries, you're done with your burger, and then all of a sudden, you think everything is complete, and there they are, right there at the bottom. Fell right out of that package.
Let me give you another scenario here, Anna Zapp. This one represents the competitor. You've just snuck in a fast food meal. You're going to get rid of the evidence before your wife even finds out, but you're running late now because you did find those last fries. What happens? You hit every green light on the way home. You're home 2 minutes early. No explanation or excuse necessary.
That is the number 2 seed, hitting all green lights in a row. And yesterday I hit all red lights in a row when I was late for something.
Yeah, it's the opposite of good.
It's terrible. It's the worst feeling when you're stuck at every single red light. So when you get all the green ones and you look and you just got to see a green and your foot just pushes down on that pedal to make yourself go a little bit faster, man, that feels good.
When I hit a green light getting up the highway, I almost feel like a superhero.
Yep. It all comes down to you because it is getting intense. March Gladness, we're looking to crown the number one thing that makes you happy. If you want to see the full bracket, you can head to annaandraven.com. But today's matchup, it's tough here, Raven. It's tough.
No controversial calls necessary for this one. It's going to be action right down to the final whistle, if you will, Anna. Fries in the bottom of the bag, taking on all green lights.
Oh, there is no better feeling, though, than when you see that sea of green and you just push on the accelerator a little faster. You go right on down that strip. But who doesn't love fries? Everybody loves fries, right?
No question.
What's making it to the final four? 1-800-330-9999. Good morning. It's Anna and Raven.
Fries at the bottom of the bag and they're still hot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If they're hot, that's a big one. Now, here's the thing. When I see one or two fries in the bottom of the bag, I'm excited. But when I reach down to grab those one or two fries, if there's a napkin in the way and there's 4 or 5 fries, whoa.
Yes. But she brings up a good point. When they're cold, you're still going to eat them, but then you feel bad about yourself after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's the worst, though, is if you drop the last fry in between your seat and the center console.
Oh.
Yeah.
So many moral decisions that you have to make.
Right. You're like, am I going to do this? Am I really going to do this?
The answer is always yes. Yeah.
And Ann Raven, what's moving on? Is it going to be fries in the bottom of the bag or all green lights?
As tempting as those extra carbs and sodium sound, I have got to go for green leads me home quicker. Green lights all the way.
How about this one? Green lights on a sunny day when it's warm and the windows are rolled down.
Woo!
What?
What? In a convertible, Raven.
Oh, my gosh. What are you, Burt Reynolds? Is this Smokey and the Bandit? I didn't realize I was talking to the coolest person alive ever.
What's making it to the final four? Finding French fries at the bottom of your bag, does that make you more happy? Or hitting all green lights in a row when you're in a rush to get somewhere?
Ooh, hitting all green lights in a row when I'm in a rush to get somewhere.
The sweetest green light there is on my commute is the light right off of the highway exit, right?
Mm-hmm.
When the light is green off the highway exit, I know you're supposed to look because you're coming faster than everybody else. I don't even look.
Oh.
All right? I just go through the turn there in a joyous glee. I'm just shouting out the window like, yeah! I'm trying to pull G's like a roller coaster.
I don't suggest that.
It feels so good, though.
Hi, it's Ian on Raven. What brings you more gladness, fries at the bottom of the bag or hitting all green lights in a row?
Yeah, it's definitely hitting all the green lights It's when you're in a rush, especially like if you have to go to the bathroom or something like that, mm-hmm. and you're hitting all the green lights and you can get there on time, it's such a huge difference. Like, fries are good. Like, I love fries, but, oh, God, traffic can be so bad sometimes, and it's just, it's wonderful. It's glorious.
And just like that, hitting all green lights makes it to the final four.
I think this is a good gauge right here on the feeling that no matter where you're headed, we're always running late.
It's true. Stay with me here, Raven. You go to fill up your gas tank, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get out, you get the gas nozzle, you stick it in there, right? You set it going up, and then what do you do while it's actually pumping the gas? Because the other day, I was doing what I do every other time I fill up my gas tank.
Which is what?
I fill it, I set the nozzle so it fills it up, and mm-hmm. then I walk back around, I get into the car, and I play on my phone until it's done. And this gentleman who was pumping gas like on the side of me to the left of me,
right.
He says, ma'am, and I looked at him, I was like, yes. And he's like, do you like your sweater? And I said, yes. And he's like, because it's going to blow up in flames if you do that.
Come on, this is a real thing somebody said to you?
Yeah.
Somebody you didn't know told you were going to spontaneously combust?
Some older guy. So I said, excuse me?
Old guys, man.
I don't know what I thought was going to happen. Like, I didn't understand. You know, I'm always confused in my life.
Yeah, so you didn't understand both his comment, where
yes.
it was coming from, but you didn't understand the actual physics and the science of what he was speaking of.
I have no clue what he was talking about. And he's like, you can't get back in the car while you're pumping your gas.
Yes,
and
yes.
I was like, why? My car's off. Like, mm-hmm. it's off when I pump my gas. I'm not one of those people that leave it on. Like, that's not real.
Well, it's static is what he's talking about. And you know what? Honestly, if you're not near the gas nozzle, I think in some places it's actually illegal. I think.
Really?
No. Because, I mean, it always springs back. Like, when it says that it's full or whatever, it shuts itself off or whatever. So I doubt that when it would actually fill, it would be spilling out all over the place. But obviously, that's the concern. And then, you know, the static, it's the same thing with the cell phone. Like, you can't be on the cell phone when you're out holding the pump. What do you do if it doesn't have the little thing that holds the gas going and you can hop in the car? Do you shove something in there?
Well, no. Then I have to stay there and hold it with
my
hand.
God. And it feels barbaric when you have to do that.
Oh, it makes me so mad.
It's like 1722 all of a sudden.
But I feel like that's a myth from the 80s, is that if you're on your cell phone while you're at the pump, everything is going to explode. Or if you get in your car. Like, that's not real anymore.
I don't think you had a cell phone in the 80s, per se. So, I mean, there's stickers on the pump, I'm pretty sure, if you looked. Then again, if you're going up there with blinders on because you just can't wait to get back in your car and check your email.
Well, hold on. I mean, I must have stand 1-800-330-9999. What do you do when you're filling your tank? Am I wrong to do this? Raven, what do you do?
I stand there. But you know what I also do is
What do you do when you stand there? You stare?
Well,
you
if it's got no, I look around. I put my hands in my pocket. Like, I don't hold it, you know, because that would be weird, you know. And I'm also the bracer guy. If there's no thing to hold it there, oh, my gas cap, it'll fit right in there. It'll hold that thing right open.
What, you use your.
But I stand next to the car at that point. I don't know.
Okay.
I might grab the squeegee.
I just imagine Raven staring at the numbers going as it's going up, trying to guess exactly to the penny how much it's going to be. 46.27. I was within 6 cents this time.
I do a lot of driving, man. It's like an every other day thing.
I mean, I thought everybody does what I do. I really was 100% certain of it. 1-800-330-9999. You go to pump your gas, right? You get out, you get the nozzle, you stick it in. What do you do while your tank is filling up? I immediately go walk back around to the driver's seat. I get in and I check my email and play on my phone until I hear it click that it's done. The guy next to me yelled at me yesterday. He was like, ma'am, do you like your sweater? And I said, yeah. You know, old people, I always got it like say something like that. Like, yeah,
that's ageism. All right. He's just letting you know. Mm-hmm. And what did he tell you?
And the nice elderly gentleman told me I was going to blow up because I got back in the car. I was like, what are you talking? Like, I was so confused. I didn't understand.
It's static energy, right? So a static creates a spark. Spark gas vapors are explosive, and then it ignites your car. And then the gas station goes up, and it's like that terrible movie, Maximum Overdrive,
where it's just chaos
everywhere.
It's not like I leave the car running. The car is off.
Yeah, well, static electricity doesn't need your engine running to be a problem.
What do you do when you fill up your gas tank? 1-800-330-9999. It's got to be better than what Raven does because he just stands there with his hands in his pocket.
Yeah, I brace it open and then I just, you know, sit back and then I judge other people around me.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be one of those that let it, you know, sit in the pump until when I was in college and I was filling up my car. Nozzle got stuck and fell out, like where you had to put your gas in where your license plate was. It fell out of the car ground, but it kept running. And
oh, my gosh.
All over me.
Oh, my gosh.
That is crazy.
Yeah, and it just, and I had to step a puddle of gas to be able to stop it. So I've never done it ever again.
Well, I mean, that would be terrifying. You know, you basically jumped into like a Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah, right. I was on my way to an event and I was covered in gas.
That's terrible.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Yeah.
But somehow still smells good.
It does. Gas does smell good. Hi, it's Anna on Raven. What do you do at the gas tank? You stand there or you get back in the car?
I get back in the car 100%. Whether I prepay a couple dollars or I fill the tank up, I always put the pump to automatically fill. Like, you know, the method of the lever, and I always get back in the car. I hate standing next to my car. It feels so weird.
Me too.
I want to be real with both of you. I'm sure you're wonderful people, but I'm judging you. I'm judging you inside. I am judging you. You know, you're not one of those people that...
I sit in my car and I watch the guy standing at the pump with his hands in his pocket.
It's like, touché. All right. Yeah. Hey, you're not one of those people that leaves the car running, are you? Because that person is Satan.
No, that I don't do because I'm not trying to kill myself or anybody else.
Right. Well, we appreciate that.
So, good on that.
Hi, it's Ian on Raven.
How you doing? I just want to say I don't think it's too dangerous to do what you were doing in the car. When I pump gas, I use my lighter to hold the lever up.
Your lighter. People are criticizing me for getting back in my car and playing on my phone, and this guy busts out a Bic lighter and he's wedging it in there and thinks it's going to be fine.
It fits perfect.
Yeah.
It fits
perfect. You feel like they did that on purpose, maybe, right?
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your gas protocol?
I usually empty out all my trash in my car when I'm pumping gas. I got two little ones, so you can imagine what my car looks like.
And probably a lot like mine, to be honest.
Yeah, that's a good place to start. Dump the garbage.
How many goldfish packets can you find under the seat? The answer is a lot.
Well, at least they're not explosive.
I got criticized by an older gentleman because when I pump gas, after I set it up, I go get into the driver's seat and then I play on my phone, deal with my kids. I get back in the car and he said, you can't do that.
Yeah, this isn't leisure time, Anna. You're there to do a job. Fill your gas tank and be responsible and safe.
Everybody gets back in the car. Raven just stands there with his hands in a pocket like a creepy old guy looking at people walk in and out of the store.
I brace the valve open so that it'll fill. And if I don't have to clean a window or something like that, I just hang out there and judge you.
What do you do? 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven.
Oh, at first I do the front and rear window, and at the end I top off the tank.
So wait,
and that can drive some people crazy.
So you, what if it doesn't have the little thing that holds it, like, so that it's filling up? Do you wedge the gas cap in there?
No, we just gently put it in and, you know, give it a quick squeeze, and you could hear right away, like, stop.
Yeah, no, but I mean, but while you're doing the windows. Wait a minute. So
you do windows instead of just sitting in your car and playing on your phone?
Yeah, there's no point.
What? It's like 6 minutes. What do you mean?
Well, it's a good time to make sure that your car is road ready, Anna Zapp.
I mean, don't you have to check your email?
Exactly. You want to see through those windows.
And Raven, what is your gas filling up protocol? What do you do when you're filling up your gas tank?
It's not what I do, Raven. There's a big sign at the gas pump that says illegal to place gas cap in nozzle.
Right.
Yeah. Well, at least I'm standing there. Anna's in the other room. She's in the car.
I'm not
looking
in
at her email playing Candy Crush or something like that. I mean, she has no idea what's happening.
I mean, it's perfect time to play Candy Crush.
It says that sign is really big, but the one about going back in the car is really tiny.
Oh, come on. Now, that's semantics here. This is semantics.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What are you doing? You're at the gas tank.
I turn off my car and I turn off my cell phone because both the cell phone and the gas from the car can both start a spark. You have to turn off your cell phone when you're pumping gas.
Wait, I haven't turned off my cell phone in 3 years.
Right. I mean, you are the most thorough. Well, you are definitely the most thorough. Like, I'm with you. You should not use your phone when you're on the gas station pump. But I'll tell you, they make it weird, too. So, like, the gas station I have, there's an app. You pay for your gas through the app. So it's like counterintuitive.
I don't think that's real anymore. That's why. I think that we've gone beyond that at this point.
Oh, yeah. We've gone beyond static electricity.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, ma'am, to inform you, but static electricity is a thing of the past.
You can turn your phone back on. It'll be fine.
If you say so.
So one of my girlfriends, Maria, her dad owns a gas station for many, many years. I had her interview him about this. This is what he had to say.
Are you supposed to stand next to the gas pump while the fuel is being dispensed into your car?
You should be standing next to the gas nozzle putting the gas in, yes.
Why?
Well, in case it overflows, you can turn it off with your hand, the nozzle. If you walk away from it and the nozzle's in there, it could not shut off and the gas will pour out on the ground. That's why you got to turn your engine off.
All right, so they say cell phones next to the gas pump could make you also blow up. So is this true?
All pumps that are installed today in the new years have devices inside the pumps that it will not spark. But the best thing to do is not to use a cell phone next to the pumps and shut your car off.
So, Raven, you standing there like a creepy guy with your hands in your pocket, you were right all along.
Thank you. I love your friend's interview skills. Those are great. Yeah. We got to the root of the matter, huh?
Right.
Don't blow up.
Don't
blow
up.
This is how we do it.
Turn the car off.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Sam and Alicia. Alicia, what's going on?
Hi. So we have new neighbors that moved in next door, and every week I see that they do not use their recycling bin at all. You know, they're throwing away wine bottles, other containers that are easily recyclable, and they're just throwing it all into the regular garbage, and I really want to go over there and talk to her about it.
Wow. Okay.
And Sam, I guess you're going to have a problem with that.
Well, I just think she's taking it a little bit too far. You know, I mean, they don't come over here and kind of yell at us for how we handle our garbage. I just think it's not that big of a deal to go over there and have your first conversation with the new neighbors be a hostile one over wine bottles.
On the one hand, I really agree with that. Like, I mean, it's not for a week. It's not for a year. It's not like somebody that lives next to you in the apartment next door or whatever. When it's a house, I mean, that could be a 30-year relationship going on there. I mean, it could be their family that comes in after that. And it's kind of like, you know, drawing a line in the sand creates a big problem. Why not just call the town or call the, you know,
oh,
the trash
better.
People or whatever?
Then well, going I directly mean, to them, you're going to rat them out?
Well, if you're really concerned about the environmental impact or whatever it may be, there's probably another way than putting yourself on it. It might not be the most grown-up, but it might be effective.
I have to be honest with you. I don't see the biggest deal with casually, I feel like we're automatically assuming it would be a hostile confrontation. What if she was just like, oh, you know, they pick up recycling. They give you it for free, the container or whatever it is in your town.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of just like introduce yourself and then somehow the conversation leads that way.
Yeah. I noticed your blue bucket is always empty, but you know, they do that. How would that go in a conversation with you?
I mean, at least now the neighbor is aware of the fact that people are looking at her and maybe
right.
she'll be guilted into it.
Shame her in.
Well, what we can do is ask our audience what they think, because they may agree with you, Sam.
Mind your business.
Alicia, it's none of your business if your neighbors are recycling or not. But they may see your side, too. You feel strongly about this, and you're upset about it, and you want them to do it and recycle, and you want to go talk to her about it.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Sam and Alicia have a new neighbor, and Alicia has noticed that this neighbor does not recycle because she sees her throwing away those wine bottles and all those plastic bottles right into the garbage, and she has come up with the idea that she should go and introduce herself and say, hey, you know, we recycle around here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Sam is horrified by this idea, right? I mean, this is a new person in the neighborhood. Nobody put you in charge of this in general. This is probably something that we should just keep our mouth shut, at least for the first few conversations. Don't bring this hostility to them.
What do you think? What would you do in this situation? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
I'm on his side. She does that. She's going to be known as the neighborhood busybody.
Yeah, it seems to me like that is the reverse of the correct way to meet the new neighbor, right? Because when you go over there and you say that, think about the next neighbor who meets that new person. That new person's going to say something to that next neighbor like, wow, that really happened. And they're going to be like, oh, yeah. No, she's like that.
Right.
She does that type of stuff to everybody.
Every neighborhood has one, though. I mean, I know immediately in my neighborhood who's ours. Same
right.
thing.
It's true.
Yeah, 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's Couples Court. Sam and Alicia have new neighbors, and Alicia has noticed that they don't recycle. She's constantly seeing them throw their wine bottles and Poland Spring bottles right in the trash. And she says, you know what? I'm going to go over, introduce myself, and then mention
that, hey, we recycle around here.
Yeah, Sam says this is the wrong way to approach a new neighbor. This is the first conversation you're going to have with these people. If it happened to me, I'd be like, what? Get out of here.
Whose side are you on this morning? Would you say something to your neighbor about this? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
I'm on his side. Those staff wanted to mind their own freaking business.
Yeah, no, I kind of with you.
You know, you never know how overwhelmed somebody, you know, is when they first move in the neighborhood, too. Like, I mean, they just might not be getting there as far as sorting inside yet at this point.
And some people just don't recycle. And you know what? You can judge them silently, but mind your business. She's right. And on Raven, whose side are you on?
I am on the husband's side. I just think it's a little weird that you're looking through people's garbage to figure out if they recycle or not. You know, they're adults. You can't really force them to recycle or do anything for that matter. So I think you should kind of mind her business and just let them be.
It does seem a bit like a ninny, right? Like I'm the boss of the neighborhood. You're not the boss of the neighborhood. Right. Nobody made you the boss of anything. Stay in your lane.
I know a few people who are like that when it comes to recycling, though. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Oh, whose side are you on this morning?
I'm on his to a degree. I understand about the environment, but stay in your lane and, you know, have a conversation, get to meet the person. Maybe walk around your neighborhood and say, hey, would you like to help us recycle? We're really big about that. Without pointing out that she might not be doing what you're doing. Because if I had a neighbor that just came out of the blue, first time I'm meeting her and comes to say that to me, I'd tell her to stay on her side.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Sam, our audience agreed with you this morning. Alicia, you got to mind your business.
No.
You know, Alicia, maybe, you know, as you make other friends in the neighborhood or whatever, you guys can kind of, you know, discern who's known or aware of this and who isn't, and you'll kind of get the implied information. Right now, you don't have a lot of backstory, right? You just know what it is that you're observing over there. And while you might not agree with it, is it really your place to step in? Because the reaction could be good. They could go ahead and say, oh, you know what? I've been meaning to do that. Then again, it could be bad. Which is, they've never done it in the time you've watched them, and they probably didn't do it before you got there either, and your conversation is not going to change their mind about what they're doing anyways, so now you just got an enemy across the way.
I don't know. I think I could be nice. You know, maybe they moved from somewhere that didn't recycle, and she's...
Yeah, like,
you know,
Afghanistan.
Right.
Now we're going to say other countries don't recycle. We don't know that.
You're right.
We don't know that, actually.
You're right. We don't know that.
We have no clue, actually.
We might be doing a better job than they are in our neighborhood.
It's true.
Sam, you must be relieved.
1,000% relieved. You know, it's just, I wouldn't want that to be the very first conversation we have with them. We can bring it up at a later date, of course, but after we meet them and know them or something like that, you know, just...
Yeah. Be like, listen, I know we've been being nice to you the last 2 months, but actually, we think you're terrible people and you should recycle. You're probably killing the ocean single-handedly.
You have a problem too? Send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hey, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Amanda.
Amanda, you're up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Okay. Raven, can you leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Amanda.
All right, Amanda. We've got $1,800 on the line. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring Raven back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. But if you beat him, this cash is all yours. You ready to play?
Yeah, let's do it.
Number one, the new reality series Pooch Perfect is getting criticized with claims of animal abuse. There's a lot of debate about it. What actress that played Fat Amy in Pitch Perfect hosts the show?
Rebel Wilson.
Number two, Ariana Grande is joining the judges on The Voice for next season. What boy band star is she replacing?
Nick Dylan.
Number three, Travis Scott had a massive debut with the sales of his new Spiked Seltzers. Now, it's one of the top 5 selling seltzers on the market. What celebrity just recently announced the creation of her own tequila brand called 818? 818, that's what it's called.
818. Ariana Grande.
Number four, Chrissy Teigen is on the cover of People Magazine's Beautiful Issue. She recently quit what social media platform?
Oh, Twitter.
And number five, Lady Gaga is the new face of Dom Perignon with a limited edition champagne. She recently released a limited edition Chromatica cookie. What brand of cookie was that?
Oreo?
Maybe, Amanda. Let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
Amanda did great. She got 4 out of 5.
It's pretty impressive. $1,800, Amanda. Let's see what happens.
Number one, the new reality series Pooch Perfect is getting criticized with claims of animal abuse. Okay. A lot of debate. What actress that played Fat Amy in Pitch Perfect hosts the show?
Fat Amy is Rebel Wilson.
That is correct.
She ain't fat no more.
No. Have you watched that show?
The Pooch Perfect?
Yeah.
No.
It just debuted this past week. I watched it, and the first thing I thought was, oh, people are going to get mad about this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Number two, Ariana Grande is joining the judges on The Voice for next season.
Yep.
What boy band star is she replacing?
Boy band star is going to be Nick Jonas.
That is correct. Number three, Travis Scott had a massive debut with the sales of his new spiked seltzer named Cacti.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually now one of the top five selling seltzers on the market.
Wow.
What celebrity just recently announced the creation of her own tequila brand called 818?
Kendall Jenner.
Yeah, I can't believe you knew that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal. She's going to make a gazillion dollars.
Number four, Chrissy Teigen is on the cover of People Magazine's Beautiful Issue. She recently quit what social media platform?
Twitter. I told you. It was a great photo.
Yeah, but she's been spending extra time on Instagram, so I'm not really sure it makes a difference.
Yeah,
but
she's never going to be quiet.
Yeah. Number five, Lady Gaga is the new face of Dom Perignon, releasing a limited edition champagne bottle.
Oh, that's beautiful. I want it.
Yeah. She recently released a limited edition Chromatica cookie. What cookie brand was that?
Oreo.
I'm sorry, Amanda. He took you down 5-4 this morning.
Wow.
I'm Amanda, and I can't beat Raven.
Well, thanks for trying, Amanda. Hold on.
It's tough right now, Amanda. What can I tell you? Another $100 in the pot. Anna, $1,900.
That's right. We'll hook Amanda up with a T-shirt, and you'll have your chance to win $1,900 tomorrow morning at the same time.